Hi, this is Chip Brim, and this is the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast with Dr. Billy Brim. Today you'll be hearing from Billy Brim's classic message series entitled Holiness. As you listen to these teachings, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more into God to become endued with power, and become holy as He is holy. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. We ask it and dare to say it because you said it. In Jesus' holy name, may not one person leave here, Lord, without having heard from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please be seated. You know, I'm getting light as I go in these three services, this being the third one. I really see from something Brother Pearson said at the end about visitation. And I'm going to share with you something God told me in the nighttime to share about visitation. And then we're going to be studying this week and what came through Pastor Terry just now is really what's going to be in one of the night services about laying your all on the altar. And it was so beautifully said. One part of it, I liked many parts of it, but one part of it says the throne is wooing us. Wooing us. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I want to be wooed, don't you? Hallelujah, bless the Lord. And I'm very thrilled and very excited. When I got here yesterday evening, I really didn't know what to put in three short services. You know, I didn't even know if I could do it. Take a miracle, bless the Lord. And in the nighttime, the Lord waked me up and told me exactly what to say today. So that's what I'm doing, just being obedient. And it started, he started working with me, I'm sure, when we drove past the Holiday Inn where we usually stay and went on downtown to the Worthington. And when we got down to the Worthington Hotel, that's where Shelley and I had stayed together there during the Southwest Believers Convention. And as I came up to the hotel, in the world they call it deja vu, but we know it's our spirit man having seen things ahead of time and before. And it was like almost, you know, being at the convention again in a way. And I remembered what had happened at the very last of the convention. I had to leave the last day. And I remembered the great meeting that we had had there one night, when we had a visitation from heaven. And so I went to sleep then last night, and in the middle of the night time, I'd been asleep about 2 or 3 hours, I heard this. Just a gentle, very gentle knock at the door. And I have learned in my lifetime, you learn after a while of God's dealing with you, that that means God is calling. And it means you can get up and hear from heaven if you won't roll back over there and go to sleep. And so I answered the knock, and he's done that through the years, and sometimes it'll sound like a telephone's ringing. And I learned from Sister Gordon Lindsay that that's how the Lord deals with her. She'll hear a phone call, and she'll get up and answer it. And if you obey those things and you answer the Lord, then they go on and continue. And if you turn from them, he doesn't try to wake you up in the nighttime if you're not going to get up. So last night, I got up. And I went over to the table and wrote down what the Lord gave me. And He wanted me to share with you about the visitation that we had that night. It's really something to have a visitation from heaven. It's not something you ignore and pretend like it didn't happen and never talk about again. And that night, and Brother George said it at the end of the last service. He said, the Lord doesn't want us missing our times of visitation. So I believe there were twofold purpose, at least, that I can see in His awakening me last night. One is to share the visitation again with you, make it fresh, and have you and I to know that we were visited by an important personage from heaven at the direction of the Father. And then I believe that He gave us our orders for the week, and really, for the rest of our lives until Jesus came. He helped me to see it, helped me put into perspective what the church's part is, what my part is. We have a part to play now in the coming of the Lord. So I remembered that night. And that night, I don't know, was that Thursday night? Was it the Thursday night meeting? What was the exact date? I don't know, but I'd like to know for my own records if we could find out. But that night, Lynn Hammond was leading in prayer. She had every night. And she finished her part where she taught on prayer and got the chair up there, and we began to pray. And I mean, we were in the Spirit. We just were in the Spirit. All together, making one sound. It didn't seem to matter that people were coming in to get their seats. We were making one sound. Turn to 2 Chronicles 5, because I'm going to add a little something I just learned from Vicki Burke. 2 Chronicles 5. This happened 3,000 years ago. Now they're dedicating the Solomon's temple, and the glory is going to come in there. And I've read this passage over and over because I know that there are keys in here to what you have for the glory to come. And so we'll start with verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests, we're priests, you know, were come out of the holy place, for all the priests present were sanctified. That's a key word. And did not then wait by course. They had all been cleansed ritually. There were probably about 4,000 of them. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of Jehovah had filled the house of God. That's the temple on the hill. We're the temple now. And I know it's the plan of Jehovah to fill us with his glory before he takes us on into the higher glories. And so I've been looking for some of these things for years. And one of the things I've been listening for is this sound, this one sound. It says that the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound. That means the instruments and the voices made one sound. And that night, as Lynn was leading us in prayer and worship, and then we began to worship, and I guess we were singing. For a while, I didn't know if we were singing or speaking, but I talked to Vicki, and I believe we were singing after what she told me. And I heard the one sound. I heard it. We all sounded one. There was one sound. I was almost overcome by that one sound because I've been listening for one sound for 20-some years. I listened a little bit, but it was too delicious to experience, so I stopped listening and got back in on it. Now, I'm going to fill you in on a part that Vicki just told me. I haven't told this in the other two services because I didn't know this part. The Bible says, "To not forsake the gathering of yourselves together," Hebrews 10:25, "especially as you see the day approaching." That means you can see the day approaching, and when you see it, get together. And one reason is, you're going to have so many things to share. Well, you know, one saw this part, one saw that part, one had this. Ah, you know? And when I walked in the back door today, the pastors have been praying up in Arkansas, and they said the Lord gave them Revelation 4 for the week. Well, when I got up in the middle of the night last night, Revelation 4 was the first scripture God gave me. So those parts thrill you, you know. That thrilled me. I had I got little goosebumps there, and it thrilled me. Bless the Lord. Well, Vicki told me a part that I had known. She too, as all of us who were in there. How many of you were there? You are witnesses to a great visitation. And Vicki, she was so caught up in that worship. And she had her eyes closed, so she saw this with her eyes closed, but she saw it. The eyes of your spirit are more real than the eyes of this body. And the pianist was playing, And she saw the notes come out of the piano as notes, like notes you read on a staff. And she saw the notes coming up, and she saw the voices going together with the instruments of music and the notes and all making this one sound. And then she said, it was as if they came from every corner of the room and all around the room. She told Dennis this that night, but I think she told only one other person. She said, all around the room, they must have been angels. She said, they were ministering spirits, and they came from all around the room, and they took those notes, and they took those voices, that worship, and they formed a whirlwind, and they carried it up to the throne of God. Now, when I told the part in the second service that I'm about ready to tell, Vicki said it was all she could do to keep from just jumping up and hollering. Maybe she should have just jumped up and hollered, you know. So that was going on with Vicki. I didn't know that part. I knew the one sound part. And as we were worshiping the Lord, Lynn Mink got up. Well, he walked in. Lynn Hammond walked off. Lynn Mink walked in. And he stayed right in the spirit. He didn't change anything, thank God. He stayed right in there. And he began to sing a majestic worship song. I think it was Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then he came to the part that says cherubim and seraphim. And he just melted. That's all I can say. He melted right before our eyes. As we looked at him, he's a tall, blonde man, you know, Lynn Mink. And suddenly his face was as red as fire. And that face that was as red as fire, it changed. I saw its eyes. It was just overcome. And I looked at him and he said, seraphim, seraphim. And Vicki said that she had just seen the angels and all of this. And she hadn't been looking at Lynn, and she heard that word seraphim, and it just about got her. And then she looked and saw what I saw and what you saw. Lynn was looking over at the top of the building and he was going, and he wasn't talking. I've been in a lot of services lately where people can't talk. I've been in services where Brother Hagin can't say a word, and anybody he calls up can't say a word. And Lynn couldn't say anything. He went, and he motioned us to keep singing. And he went, and then, now that night, I waited for Lynn to leave because I wanted to talk to him while it was really fresh. He could tell me exactly what he saw. And so Shelley and I waited, and we rode over back to the hotel in the van with Lynn that night. And Lynn, we were the only ones in the car, and Lynn said, my life has changed forever.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. To order these teachings in their entirety or learn more about Billy Brim Ministries, please log on to www.billybrim.org. That's www.billybrim.org. Or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And this is Chip Brim saying, Shalom.